Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. So happy to have you back. Today, our guest is Katie from the Book Club blog, and we're chatting all things fiction books. Now let's get to the interview. Hi, Katie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thanks so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us who you are.
So my name is Katie, and you know me from the Bookly Club, which is a blog that we run online, myself and three other women. We're all some version of Catherine. I'm Katie. There's another Katie. There's Catherine, who is on Instagram as a bookstagrammer as well, at Read With Cat. And then Kate, and we're all college friends who started this, and I've just kind of fallen in love with the Bookstagram community through this and always been a book lover. And as a stay-at-home mom of two girls, this is kind of a great outlet for me, which I really enjoy.
So when is hard to get started with Book Club?
So after the four of us finished college, we all went to Denison University in Ohio. We kind of spread all over. Two of us ended up, well, I guess technically two ended up in New York. I was in Chicago, another in Baltimore. So as close friends over the years, we kind of eventually were like, we would love a way to kind of stay in touch and do a project together. And we're all avid readers. So we decided to start this as like an online book club, a way to stay in touch and kind of a nice way to exercise, you know, those writing skills and some stuff we just don't get around to very often anymore. And it kind of went on from there. I think it was 2014 that we started it. I lose track though.
Wow. So how do you choose the next book to read?
So for Bookly versus for me, I guess it's two very different things. For Bookly, we usually do, like, each one of us puts in, like, I think we just do, like, now 1 to 2 votes of what we would like for each month, and then we go in and vote on it, because we read based on, it all started, actually, because I'm a mood reader, like, I am completely, depends on the time of year and what I'm feeling, that's what I pick up, so it kind of started with that, in that Bookly has themes, so for December and January, it's like a learn something new, New Year's resolution type thing. So we read nonfiction. February is a love story. August is a beach read. November, we read something that's like dysfunctional family, that sort of thing. So we usually vote in the beginning of the year. We're actually due for to do a whole nother set in the next month or so. So any suggestions, I'll look forward to, because we got to put that list together soon.
That's exciting. I love it. I love that you have themes. So you have something to look for, and it's just that it keeps you fresh.
Yeah, it's really fun. Catherine and I especially like get weirdly excited to see like all the recommendations that us, you know, four women put on there and what ends up winning and all that stuff. So it's really fun.
That's exciting. And how do you split the work? Like, how do you all post at the same time? How does that work?
Yeah. So we all like, I start the list. I'm like, okay, it's up for people to put in recommendations. And then once everyone's entered in a few recommendations, we do just like a number system basically. So each person picks for each month, like first, second, and third choice, and they give it, you know, one star, two star, three stars for top choice, and whichever has the most votes is what wins.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your reading life. When do you read?
Good question. Excuse me. So I used to read back in the day on my commute. So living in Chicago, I would take the bus or the L all the time. But now that I'm a stay-at-home mom, that's slowly out the window. but I do make a point, my husband and I both, every night, really no matter how late it is, what the day's been like, I always get in bed and read before bed. At least, you know, it could be 10 minutes or it could be an hour or two. It just depends. So that's where I fit in a lot of it. And then also, I do have one day a week where I have extra childcare. So that gives me some time for extra things as well, which is a really nice luxury.
That's a really nice luxury. I love it.
Yeah.
What do you love most about reading?
Good question. I think I've always loved reading. It's kind of hard to pinpoint, but my favorite is probably just like when you find that book that totally, you know, captures you, that you lose track of time in reading it and you're so deep in the story and the characters, and it's the thing you then can't stop talking about and are recommending to people left and right and can completely escape or learn something fascinating, or just kind of the whole world that reading can bring to you is so much fun to me. And that imagination of it, it's definitely something that I hope that, you know, my girls are very fond of, because it's such a big thing for my husband and I.
That's amazing. So what would you like your reading life to be different if you had a magic wand?
How would I like my reading life to be different? I mean, there are totally days where I know you'll know what I mean. Like, you just wish, okay, I don't want any responsibilities right now. I just want to sit and read this or finish this. Or just have like unlimited time. You don't have to do any adulting. You just focus on the book and the story. Because I do feel like my reading life is a lot of part and parcel, right? Like, it's like, okay, they're going to watch an episode of such and such, so I'll pick up a book for 10 minutes. Or, you know, the quiet time at the end of the night, but I end up falling asleep 5 pages in. So not having it as broken up, I guess. So not having to force the time for it. But, you know, we've all got the responsibilities, so...
Yeah. If it was kids, it would be jobs, it would be other things. So yeah, we got
responsibilities
that just takes time away from reading. I think
I know
it's kind of tough. It's like, I wish I could be a professional reader.
So. Right. The cruel world of reality.
Yeah. So you mentioned you're a mood reader. Are you a fully mood reader, or do you keep a TBR, or how do you choose your next read?
Up until, you know, being a part of the Bookstagram community on Instagram, I didn't even know that people would do that. Like, oh, here's what I'm reading this month. And it's not really been something I've even attempted yet, because I just know I'll get so thrown off track. Besides knowing here's Bookley's book for the month, and I always read that. Besides that, I never really have a plan besides being, you know, oh, I'll read this for Bookley, and then I really want to get to this, you know, the next Crazy Rich Asians book or something I just am really in the mood for. I guess that's exactly what it is. So I haven't tried the TBR thing, and I don't think I ever will. I think I would be a complete failure at that. And I started reading a lot faster recently, just with Bookley and all the great recommendations out there. But up until recently, I've been kind of slow, and, you know, people putting 5 or more in a month just seemed overwhelming to me and intimidating, having too much of a to-do list. So I just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah. I'm a mood reader too. Like, I have, I think, 1 or 2 books that I know that I'll read because based on recommendations, so they're coming from a recommendation. But other than that, I tend to be in a mood. And like right now, I'm like in a weird space where I started a couple books and nothing is sticking. And I'm like, what do I want to read? And I'm like, okay. And I'm talking to you. I'm like, okay, I'm going to read that book because I need a mood shift. Like, I'm burned out and I need something lighter, something that's just going to be easy to read.
Totally. And I love like just shopping your shelf, you know, like we all have all these books around us that we still haven't gotten to. And mm-hmm. like I'll pick, you know, five or six off the shelf and read the first chapter or two in each and kind of, like you said, see what grabs you or what you're in the mood for, mm-hmm. which is kind of fun, you know, not knowing what you'll do next.
Yeah. Just kind of like seeing where it takes you.
So. Exactly.
Yeah. Do you keep track of the books you read?
I do. I use Goodreads for that, which I can't remember when Goodreads first came out, but pretty much since it did, I've been tracking, and I still know there's probably, I mean, there's definitely stuff out there where, like, I know I read that, but it's still not on my Goodreads, and I need to, like, retroactively add it. But I love, I mean, I think because Goodreads is what I've always used, I haven't really experimented with anything else, but I love being able to just, like, you know, someone will ask for recommendations, so I can quick go in, and I have, like, different shelves that I've curated in there, too, like, favorites, or I have a shelf of what I own, so that if anyone looks to buy me a book, they're like, you already have all of them. Well, I have a list of what I do own, so you can see what I want to read, but don't yet own. Or books, you know, I want to kind of keep on the side for my daughter someday for them to read, or recommendations. So that's kind of fun too on Goodreads, to create different shelves of ideas and categories as well. So that's what's been easiest. Yeah.
That's inspiring. I keep it to four shelves. I have to be read, currently reading, and read. And
yeah,
I just started the DNF shelf because I was like, I want to keep track of the books that I DNF.
Yeah.
But just that I didn't like the book, or for the most part, I DNF because it may not be the right mood.
Right.
So I have to keep track of those. But
yeah, that's a good idea too.
Maybe trying to do some favorite shelves or some books that I own. So if I want to be gifted, they'll know, you know.
Exactly.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your favorite genre?
I think I don't really have a conscious favorite, I guess I should say. I was kind of thinking a bit about this. I had listened to another one of your podcasts, and with that question kind of made me think that I don't think I consciously, you know, will go have a go-to that I'll look at a certain section and be like, oh, I always find something good in thriller or historical fiction or what have you. But I do tend to think, just looking at the books I've really liked and what I tend to gravitate towards, I think like kind of dark and twisty stories, like thrillers or true crime or mystery. Like In Cold Blood is one of my favorites of all time, and that's pretty much as dark as you can get. And obviously I read this year's The All Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara. But, you know, also just a good mystery and thriller like Dark Matter or Bird Box or something that just kind of has that darker human element, I guess I find fascinating and something that kind of grips me. So yeah, in thinking about that, I was like, oh, I guess I kind of like darker reads.
I love it.
Yeah.
So what are your top three favorite books of all time?
Top three favorite books of all time. So I definitely think In Cold Blood would be one of my top three. Have you read that one?
No, it was just mentioned on an earlier episode this week. So it's going to come out the same week you'll hear the book, which is a sign that you should read it. And actually,
That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, it's whomever it was probably mentioned too. Like, it's by Truman Capote, and it's true crime, a terrible, you know, murder. I think it was in Kansas, and it's been probably a decade since I've read it. Again, just a fascinating story, but mostly fascinating because Capote gets very close to one of the two convicted murderers and tells a very different side than you would get from any sort of detective or police work. It's more emotional, and the origins of this kind of cruelty and madness, and if it is in fact that. Anyways, it makes you think. Found that really, really fascinating. And the movie Capote, starring Philip Seymour Hoffman, is is a adaptation of that, and is really, really, really good as well. I think that was nominated for some Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of mine is The Sweetness at the Bottom of the Pie by mm-hmm. Alan Bradley. Have you heard of that one?
No, I have not. What is it about?
I feel like it's kind of one that some people haven't even heard of, and it's part of a series, the Flavia Deleuze series. I don't know when it came out exactly, but I read it in 2010, so it goes a little ways back. I think there's like 7 or 8 books in the series now, and it is centered around this character, Flavia Deleuze, as she grows up on this English estate in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And it's her sisters, and her father, and she's just this totally unique, troublesome, intelligent, curious character it's all told from her perspective. She's, I think, I'm going to say like 8 years old in the first book. And she's just wandering and adventuring, you know, no shoes on, riding her bike, who she calls Gladys, through the town, and kind of comes across these mysteries. Or, you know, in one book, she'll find a dead body and, you know, kind of ends up coincidentally being the one to solve a mystery. And it's just, it's a lot of fun and really well written, and the characters are great, especially her. She's also very much into chemistry, which is interesting. And then another one, The Pillars of the Earth. I think those are probably my top three.
I love it. Who are your go-to authors? Which authors are you auto by?
I was thinking about that one too, that there's Alan Bradley, who's the author of The Sweetness at the Bottom of the Pie. Like, I've gone through that whole series, so he's definitely a go-to in that one of those is released, I'll pick it up. Mm-hmm. Rebecca Solnit, who's a nonfiction author, she just had a book come out this year, excuse me, Call Them by Their True Names, is fantastic. I just read The Mother of All Questions by her this year. It was so good. Mm-hmm. And John Krakauer is another great nonfiction author that I pick up. And then Sabaa Tahir, which she's just started doing the Ember in the Ashes series. Have you read that one?
No, it's a fairly popular series in YouTube.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's so good. She's written, published 3 of the 4 in the series, and they're fantastic. That's one of those books I keep recommending to people. And I'm like, trust me, look past the cover. It's fantastic. but those are a few of my favorites that I'll always kind of check out what they've got going on.
Do you know if book 4 for It's About to Hear is coming out next year, or do we have to wait a couple years for that one?
I think I don't know for sure, but I think based on the timeline of each book's been about a year to 18 months apart.
Okay.
So I would guess sometime in 2019 is when the next one's coming out.
Okay. So maybe I have a thing with young adult series, which I was like, I binged on them. So yeah. I realized that, you know, with some series that I had to wait for a year, I was like, okay, I'm just going to wait until this is over, and then I can just binge fully, you know, dedicate
totally.
And read them all. So.
Exactly. Yeah. The Ember in the Ashes one, I read the first one when the second one had just come mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I feel like at just the wrong time. I'm like, now I have to wait for each and every one of them. Usually I'll do the same thing. I'm like, oh, well, I'll wait till the whole thing's out, and then just like, I can read them all at once.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's like, you can dedicate, like, I can finish it off as opposed to being like halfway. For me, Throne of Glass is a series that I read in 2016. I read all 6 books or 5 books were out, and there's 2 books that I'm missing, and I own them, but I just haven't had the time to just sit down and read them. I'm like, I know I need to reread the first 6 books or a recap before I can dive
exactly. I feel like there's not enough of that out there. When I went to read the 3rd in Ember in the Ashes, I was like, I'm not finding great resources. You need to remember. Couldn't recall a lot of it, but you know, it comes back.
Yeah, it comes back. It's just basically you gotta get a recap or something. So.
Exactly, something.
Yeah. So, favorite books that you read in 2018 so far?
excuse me. 2018, I feel like, has been a really good year for me in terms of books. I read a lot that are up there in my, like, you know, on my favorite shelf now, on Goodreads. One being Beartown, which I read this year, which I'm sure you've heard a million times from a million people.
Yep.
it's fantastic. Mother of All Questions by Rebecca Solnit. I read that one and Men Explain Things to Me this year, but I definitely like The Mother of All Questions better.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Nix by, oh, I'm not going to remember his name now. Have you heard of The Nix?
No, what is it about?
It's a really, really interesting, it's a longer book. It's like north, by Nathan Hill, that's what it is. It's north of 500 pages or so.
Okay.
So it's here, it's like 600. But it's totally worth it. It's about this man, like man, contemporary timeline, who has no relationship with his mother, who left the family when he was young, and she kind of comes back into his life in a weird way mm-hmm. during the contemporary timeline. And it then takes the story, you know, it's one of those that follows a few different character perspectives and different chapters. And it also bounces a bit back and forth in different timelines. And the Chicago actually takes place in Chicago, and it's prominent in the story because his mother turns out she had some involvement with the riots in Chicago in the 1960s. And it's just really well written, and the characters are very full, and it kind of reads like that one of those books that it takes place over such a long period of time, it doesn't feel like as long as it is. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, I've heard it's supposed to be made into a Netflix movie or series starring Meryl Streep as the mom. Wow. Yeah, so I'm interested to see if that happens. But I definitely recommend that one. Another favorite of mine this year, it was Station 11. So good. I feel like that's getting a lot of buzz this year too, like a lot of people are finally picking that one up.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read that one?
No, I heard a lot about it. I think I read dystopian years mm-hmm. ago when it was like the trend, and then I did too much dystopian, then I was like, I can't do dystopian. Dystopian again. I'm like, do I like it? Or is it oversaturated? So
totally. Yeah, actually, it's funny you say that because I made my husband read it because I was like, this is so good, you have to read it. And he said it felt like because he actually just read Stephen King's The Stand this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he said Station 11 felt like a distilled, concise version of The Stand. So he's like, I kind of felt like I'd been there, done that with the book, but it's so well done in the approachability of it all. And it's like this, you know, like you're saying, a totally unusual dystopia, but she also makes it feel very real and possible in a way that doesn't feel so possible. It's frightful.
Yeah.
But it's just really well done, and it's one of those I finished, and I was like, huh, I guess I like that. And then it just, like, wouldn't leave me.
Mm.
I kept thinking about it and coming back to it, and it's definitely one I wish I had read with someone to, like, talk mm-hmm. all about it, because mm-hmm. there's so many little nuggets of hints or information or allusions to other things, or that it would be nice to have someone to chat with about it, but it was definitely one of my favorites from this year. Really, really, really good.
I think I might pick it up. So based on your recommendation, based on other people's recommendation that I heard about it, I think it's a book that seems to be, you know, keeps buzzing about it. You know?
Exactly. And I think it's a lot of people with different tastes in books. That's one that seems to still be likable to a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what's your most anticipated new release for 2019?
Most anticipated. Besides Taylor Jenkins Reid, mm-hmm. her new book, what is it? Daisy Jones and the Six, I think.
Yeah. Correct.
Cause I just read this year was the first time reading anything of hers. One True Loves and Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, which I enjoyed both of those. So I'm really looking forward to her next one. That's definitely one. And then there's a new book, I forget the name of it, coming out by Elizabeth Gilbert.
Oh, City Girls. I'm looking forward to
City
that.
City Girls.
Yeah.
Yes. And I've actually never read anything by her. I'm like, do you think maybe there's something I should start with before jumping into that one? I guess kind of have to see how that one turns out.
The new Elizabeth Gilbert is fiction, and so she's written a couple of fiction, but she's mainly known for nonfiction, for Equal Love and Committed and Big Magic.
Big Magic I have, yeah.
Yeah, so those are nonfiction. But City Girls is kind of like in 1920s. I feel like I read the synopsis. It felt like kind of, it reminded me a little bit of The Seven Husbands of Hugo, it's sort of historical fiction, kind of like out of it. So it seems like a fun book. I did read Daisy Jones, and that was a fun book to read. It's sort of like a Rolling Stone magazine interview. About the format, and it's about the rise and fall of Daisy Jones and the Six. So it's kind of fun. It's like sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. I didn't know about that format. That would be interesting to read.
Yeah, it has some twists and turns. You don't realize. You're like, wait, hold on. there's a lot of characters. There's a lot of development, but it's an interview format, which is kind of like a fun format to read.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't read anything. Well, I guess like Seven Husbands a little bit in the interview style, but still taking that to another level.
This is straight up an interview. It's like, the person question and here's a story. You're like, oh, okay. I'm reading.
Yeah, I've never read anything like that.
Yeah. So what's one book that everyone loves but you cannot stand?
Oh, I read this year The Secret History, which, you know, I feel like I exactly. So many people love it, and I'd heard so much about it, and I just did not like it. I think that's kind of the way of Donna Tartt, though, the author. So many people are pretty polarized on, you know, the Goldfinch, and you either love it or hate it kind of thing. And it's so hard when something's that talked up that, you know, to in some way not be disappointed is a surprise. Another one, I guess I wouldn't say this is one, though, that everyone loves, because the Jeff Vandermeer series, Area X, starting with Annihilation, which was just made into a movie. I read Annihilation and loved it and would recommend it as like a standalone, and then had to finish the rest of the series, which was awful. absolutely terrible, in my opinion. those have been a few big disappointments for me.
Understandable. So what's your first book adaptation, or what book should be adapted?
Ooh, you know what I'm really looking forward to? First I should say, I would love for Station 11 to be turned into a movie. I think that would be excellent. I would love for, I just read One Day in December, the one that everyone's talking about for holiday read. That I think would make a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm really looking forward to Bird Box. Have you heard of that one?
No.
So Bird Box by, I'll think of the name, is actually coming out next week, 2 weeks, on Netflix. So it was written by, he actually is a musician first, which is interesting, Josh Malerman. And I would describe it as like a, I don't know if horror is the right word, but definitely a dark thriller. And it's this, again, a dystopia where all of a sudden people start basically committing violent suicides across the world for no explained reason. And this isn't giving much away, because it's like explained in the first 20 pages, that ultimately there's some sort of supernatural or science fiction, some sort of presence out there that has now made itself known on Earth, that if you look at it, you immediately go crazy, lose your mind, and hence the violent suicides. So people live in their homes with, you know, the windows blacked out, and if you go outside, you have to wear a blindfold. And the main protagonist is this woman who's pregnant at the time that all this happens. And it goes through her evolution of finding help and having children and raising those children in this world. And ultimately, it gears up towards this trip she takes at the end, which kind of has some mystery around it and lots of anxiety around it. But in reading it, I loved the book. It was so well done and just a great mystery. And you feel, you know, your heart's pounding and can't wait to see what happens. And it's a very, like, satisfying book, too, in the sense that I really enjoyed the ending as well. And so right after reading it, though, I think I read it last year, I heard about how it was being made into a Netflix movie with Sandra Bullock stars as the protagonist, which is a bit weird to me because in the book, as you read her, she's basically a young 20-something who accidentally gets pregnant. So that kind of felt, I'm like, isn't she in her 40s now? So you can kind of tell in the preview, they've adapted a bit to account for her to be the star in the movie, but nonetheless, it still looks really good. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. And hopefully it will live up to my anticipation.
That's awesome. So what is your go-to book recommendation?
Oh, good question. My go-to book recommendation. Well, if I had to say, I guess, fiction, Station 11 or Beartown are two big ones for me. Because I just think they're both very, like, so well done and so interesting and unique in their own way, but also very, like, approachable and readable. And, you know, you don't have to be into any sort of thing to appreciate them. And then nonfiction, I've been recommending Rebecca Solnit and, like, everything she's written left and right. So I would say those are my go-tos, at least now. It always changes.
I love it. Yeah, it changes. You change their mood. It changes in the person's taste. You know,
right.
The are personal, you know.
So. Right, exactly. Exactly.
Tell us where you can find you online.
So online on Instagram, you can find us, at the Bookly Club. Bookly is spelled B-O-O-K-L-Y. And then we also have our website of the same name. So thebooklyclub.com. And we post a lot on Instagram and then do all our reviews and announcements and stuff on the blog. So you can check us out at either place.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being in the show.
Yeah, of course, Laura. Thanks so much for having me. This was fun.
Thank you, Katie, for a great list of book recommendations. For a detailed list of books mentioned in this podcast, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/87. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. This will help get the podcast get discovered by new audiences. For the month of December, I'm giving away a hardback new release for one lucky winner as a thank you for leaving a review on iTunes. This giveaway is open internationally. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you soon.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.